hear the word of the Lord. The first time I came to this place by the leading of the Holy Spirit and the orchestration of His message. You know, Paul said in Galatians 2 verse 2, he said, I went up to Jerusalem by revelation. And Simeon was in the temple praying when they brought Jesus. And he said he went into the temple by the Spirit. First time I was brought here by the mercies of God, the first thing that threw me was when I beheld face to face Mama G. Glory to God. You know, we were discipled in our earlier days by the movie industries. It looked as if the stories there were more potent. Not the one now, anyway. The one now is a burden to the soul. But those days, movies were gospel. They are gospel messages. And today again, I had the privilege of driving down from Owerri with Mama. And we had a smooth ride. Can we celebrate God for her service? And you see, when you begin to walk with spirits, you discover that the technology of announcing a man and placing influence on the life of a man is beyond the charisma that such a man portrays. It is God Himself that raises a man, because these things are entrustments. And I began to understand why I know many gifted young men in the East, but they are not known. Until the heart of a man is tried, God will not place influence on him. And even if he gathers 1,000 people, His words will not sustain the potency to pierce through their soul. Until God deals with a man, He has no story for his generation. Everybody that is here, the ministers of God, pastor from Lagos, it's an honor to meet you, and every other person, the leaders from all the campuses, thank you for coming. Trust that the Lord will speak to us by His message. So this evening, our attempt to define a calling, our attempt to define what a calling is. Father, thank you for the privilege again to look into your word. We trust that you will speak to us from the heights of Zion, where the essence of our reality is captured in articulate speech in the utterance of spirits. And we ask that, Lord, by the help of your grace, you will fire those immortal utterances that were spoken before the foundations of the world into the hearts of hearts, so that every one of us, beyond the words of a man, we hear the whispers of Zion. And those echoes will begin to trouble us with burdens that will make us to submit our lives completely to the government of your kingdom and walk in the direction of our ordinations. Help us tonight, Lord, we pray. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. If the Lord begins to help you and begins to furnish burdens in your heart, those burdens, you may not necessarily understand the impact, the import, and the effect of those burdens. But most times, when God wants to redefine the perspective of a generation, what He does is that He creates burdens in their hearts, and those burdens are designed to draw a generation back to the womb of the Spirit, so that the immortal Spirit of God that dwells in the tabernacles of Zion can educate humankind afresh. Because oftentimes when God wants to raise a generation, He's raising a generation because the fathers have completed the quota of the assignment. And the crisis of the divine at such time is the fact that the younger generation that is saddled with the responsibility of bringing perspective as touching what is in the heart of the father may not be experienced enough to handle hallowed matters. The fathers may have sat on scriptures for 60 years, some of them for 50 years. So every line, every phrase in the Bible, if you can put three words together, like a concordance, they will tell you everywhere you can find those words in scriptures. They have mastered every doctrine that formed the bedrock of our belief system. And God now realizes that the assignment of the fathers are over, and he wants to raise a younger generation. Sometimes these young people that the mark of ordination is upon their lives may not even have read the Bible cover to cover. So obviously they are oblivious as touching the complete counsel of God. If you ask them about certain doctrines, they may not be able to articulate it correctly, because even the knowledge of the Bible has not sufficiently been furnished in their hearts. But these are the generations that have the heart disposition that the Father is looking for in order to raise, to bring perspective to the kingdom. By what means can a younger generation that have not even studied the Bible bring the counsel of God when the fathers are there that understand the ways of the Spirit? The only way by which God can create a voice in the heart of a younger generation in order to shift the kingdom in the direction that the kingdom should go is by the technology of burdens. So what God does most of the times is that he begins to furnish burdens in their hearts, and they don't understand what the burden is about. But what the burden does is that he separates them from that generation for a season, and then God draws them into himself, and then the Holy Spirit, the ancient spirit that crafted all forms of wisdom, begin to pour himself into their soul. So the man may not understand the Bible, so to say, but the Spirit of God is furnished on the tablets of his heart so strong that every time he comes, he has a voice. And when he begins to cry, the first thing that his voice does is that he opens the heaven so that a new wave of the Spirit of God will come. It is that wave of the Spirit of God that comes that raises the army. The army that will study the ways of God in order for the church to find an exodus in a new direction. Not because the fathers necessarily have failed, but what God is doing is not articulated within the scope of their dealings. So every time they speak within the boundary of the dealings of God on their life. But God wants to move forward. Most times, the conflict arises when the fathers don't give room to the younger generation to bring the counsel of God. Because they assume that because they are at the pinnacle of what God is doing in that season, the move of God will die with them. But when we study the lexicon of the move of God, we realize that the move of God is transgenerational. It doesn't end with men. It's a flow of spirits. And this is why in a strategic season like this, when God is calling, when God is stretching his hand from the spirit realm and raising a generation, every one of us must become consistent and aligned to the voice of the burdens that is in our heart. All of us, we study the same doctrine, but what will distinguish us in this kingdom is the quality of our consecration. Because our consecration will be consistent with the ordinations of God upon our lives. And that is where our callings begin to have definition. I want to talk about callings this morning, because some of the things I'll be sharing, most of you may not know the quality and scope of assignment you are supposed to carry out, because you are seeing yourself as a teenager of 19 years old. And the last time you checked, you have not read the whole Bible. So your burden is to read the Bible. It's very important to read the Bible. And you will always read it, even when you are walking in your calling. The Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 13, Paul was writing to the young boy. The young boy that he left in Ephesus, who was ordaining elders. He wrote to him, he said, until I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation and to doctrine. Because it is very important that you are rich in the word of God. It will help you to articulate the burdens of God that will be encapsulated in the chambers of your heart. But deeper than that is a dealing that God is bringing you into, because there's a calling upon your life. Callings are very deep, but callings can only be realized when discernment is accurate. A generation will be lost if a generation does not have discernment. The reason you can neglect the burdens of God that comes to your heart is because there is something wrong with your discernment. You see, in the days of John the Baptist, this gospel may not be very conventional. You have to pardon me. I'm going somewhere. By the time I reach where I'm going, the people that are having this experience, they will know. This is why sometimes we are bold to share what we are sharing, because before we started sharing it, the Holy Ghost is already touching the heart of people. So when we talk, They may not even understand what you are saying, but every time they hear, there will be an echo in their heart, because they know that what this man is saying, the day we were summoned in the assembly of eternity, before we came into time as seeds of eternity, those utterances were spoken into us. The first time I heard Apostle Arume talking, I was like, what is he saying? What is this man saying? But I went home, I couldn't sleep. Because what he is saying, I know that thing from the spiritual realm before I was born. You know, he said, before you were born, I knew you. And I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. So that guy came, he was born into the family of priests. But what was running in his spirit was the DNA of a prophet. So he could obey and follow the routine of priesthood, but he is a prophet. So every time you talk about the prophetic, he may not understand you, but something will move on his inside, because that is his DNA. So this thing we are sharing now, the people that are numbered, the thing will be in your heart. You will not hear me in your head, you will hear me in your heart. Because when I'm done talking, you may not have full understanding, but you will have bodies. You may live here and food will lose taste, water will lose taste. Why? Because the voice will be an echo from eternity, and it will be stirring a chord within the depths and the deep chambers of your soul. The reason most times we don't value bodies is because discernment is lacking. And discernment is lacking when the church is turned in the wrong direction. In a generation where God is purging men, the emphasis in the church may be about prosperity. And because prosperity becomes our consciousness, many may not discern that God is purging his house. So the more the church becomes rich, the more we become citizens of Babylon. The more we become rich, the more we will become servants of the God of commerce. The more we become rich and influential, the more we will become agents of Mammon. The reason is because our discernment has been compromised, because the emphasis are wrong. Isaiah prophesied 700 years before the coming of the Messiah. And he said, for the Messiah to come, a prophet must rise that will cry from the wilderness. But in the day of the unveiling of the Messiah, everything was about the synagogue. So people travel for many kilometers, 3 times in a year, to come to the synagogue to meet God. The rituals were not wrong in themselves. But what they did not know was that the heavens, there was a resonance in heaven. And at that time, what the heavens was looking for are men that will go toward the backsides of the wilderness. Because the voice that will bring the Messiah will not cry from the synagogue. That voice will cry from what? The wilderness. But the emphasis was about the Torah. The emphasis was about prosperity. The emphasis was about influence in the house of God. So in that day and time, there were 2 high priests. One was a political high priest, one was a religious high priest. So Jesus was born for 30 years. No prophet rose. The discernment was wrong. Perhaps many young people were supposed to carry that ordination. You know, when ordination comes into the spiritual realm, it floats in the atmosphere. The man that can discern it and pick it begins to walk in it. But nobody could pick it. Only John separated himself into the wilderness, and something alighted upon him. Meanwhile, the Jesus John was about to announce, the Jesus, the day he was born, 8 days later, they brought him to the temple. And a prophet said, this is the salvation of Israel. 2 people had already recognized him, but the generation could not know him. After 30 years, the man that God drew into the wilderness by body was the only man that came and said, the Messiah is among us. And when he saw Jesus come, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. This is a time when they were still slaughtering bulls and heifers and carrying the blood into the Holy of Holies and pouring on the mercy seat. But somebody else saw, he said, no, behold, the Lamb of God. You know, if you were one of the high priests at that time, you were challenging. And actually, they challenged him. They say, who are you? By what authority are you doing what you are doing? Because the system has become an institution. It is no longer an infrastructure from heaven that could trap the dimensions of God. God had been separated from that system. So for you in that day and time to have a voice, the same way they accredit universities now, the Sanhedrin will delegate people to come and say, okay, now you know the Torah, so preach. Here comes a man from the back sides of the desert, and he said, the Lamb of God has come. Many people in that generation had the same body,
So the Bible said the whole of Judea went to him. So John was not the only one with a burden. The burden was hovering in the atmosphere, but there was no man of sufficient discernment. Only a man was able to download what was coming from heaven. And instantly, heaven made his voice a trumpet. It was on the economy of his voice that the Messiah came into the territory. When God raises an army, he begins to cast burdens in the hearts of people. This is why most of you will find it difficult to sleep at night. You may go to church every Sunday, people are dancing, but it looks as if you are alien. They are prophesying prosperity. You are not an agent of poverty. Poverty in itself is a curse. You are not an agent of poverty. But what is resonating in your soul, even though they are screaming and people are jumping, they can't touch you. What you need to know is that you are not part of that generation. You are supposed to be a herald of what God wants to bring into that generation. That is why you are hearing differently. And if you are wise, you will know that your calling at that time is to separate and attend to that body. Because if you don't attend to that body, you may not be relevant. It is on this wise that I want to begin to define what a calling is. A calling is not a prophet or an apostle. A calling is not even necessarily an assignment. A calling is actually heaven's strategy of making you become everything you should be in a kingdom if the fall had not taken place. If you don't understand this, you may be carried away that you are an apostle. If you don't understand this, you may be carried away that you are a prophet. If you don't understand this, you may be carried away that you are a millionaire. But every time God places a calling on a man, and you need to know that all of us have different callings, but every calling God places on our lives is his own strategy of making us become everything we would have been if the fall had not taken place. If not for the fall, every one of us would have been born into what we were supposed to be. Because the way Adam was crafted, Adam was not crafted to do something to become. He was created as a man who was already in his full ordination. In fact, the idea of Eden was for Eden to be an atmosphere of heaven through which heaven can dominate the earth until the earth becomes a mirror image of heaven. The reason the new Jerusalem will descend from heaven is because the first Jerusalem that God was creating on earth for man to cultivate was lost. So that Jerusalem is what we descend back in the book of Revelation. So if the fall had not taken place, you wouldn't have needed a prophet. You wouldn't have needed an apostle. You would have been born into who you are supposed to be in Zion. But right now the fall had taken place. There is a contradiction in the spirit realm. And of necessity, everything that God planned in his heart will come to pass. So you are now born into a world of chaos. You are now born into a world of commotion. You are now dislocated because even your fathers that gave birth to you, some of them didn't know God. And the ones that gave birth to them, most of them didn't know God. So you were supposed to be born to function in the kingdom as an entity. But unfortunately, you were born into an idol family. So the only way God can abstract you and bring you back on track is to put a calling upon your life. So on earth, you may be fulfilling the calling of a prophet. But at the end of the day, when you are done on earth, you go to heaven, they will not know you as a prophet. When you go to heaven, you will be recognized as who you were before the foundation of the world, if your calling is accurate. So the idea of a calling is heaven's strategy of giving humankind an advantage, of subduing the earth, and to come to a point where everything they were created to be, they will become in eternity. This is the idea behind the reward system of heaven. But you see, there is another infrastructure on earth that supports a calling. It's called the blessing. If you are not careful, you will live your life on earth pursuing the blessing as against the calling. The blessing is everything God gives you as an advantage in time. But the idea of the blessing is to facilitate the calling. But most of the times, what the church preaches now is the blessing. So the blessedness of the anointing, the blessedness of healing, the blessedness of prosperity becomes the priority. So we live on earth as if life begins and ends on earth. Meanwhile, The anointing is supposed to make you have an advantage so that you can subdue the earth. And in subduing the earth, you become like God, and then you walk into the fullness of your ordination. The prosperity you have is a tool in your hand for you to advance that which is in the heart of God to the degree that you will carry out the same responsibility you would have carried out in Zion if the earth had not collapsed. So that you are doing that assignment. When Zion is restored, then you will stand in your rank. But unfortunately, the way we are going now, many people are forfeiting their rank in Zion for prosperity and for pleasure in time. So the Bible said, him that liveth in pleasure is dead while he walketh. Is anything wrong with the blessing? No. But the blessing will be relevant if you have the calling in view. The anointing of the prophetic can become the reason why you will lose your place in Zion. These things are delicate matters. And if they are not explained carefully, it will be a challenge. So somebody has an anointing and he thinks that anointing is expected to make him. Because he read in the Bible and he said, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before kings. But the question is, what did you come before kings to do? Because Paul the apostle came before king to bring a witness that will cost him his life. So Paul's gift brought him what? Death before kings. But the idea is because he saw that the mark of the high calling, when it is met, there is a reward in what? In Zion. So the reason he was pursuing and advancing the office of an apostle was not for the apostolic itself. It was for the what? The reward that is in Zion. Because he knows that there is a throne that is meant for him before he was born. Everything about the apostolic was to give him an advantage in time so that by the time he gets to eternity, by all means, he will sit on that throne. Judas Iscariot, on the other hand, did not understand what it meant. So he thought working with Jesus was about fraternity. He thought it was about influence. So when they come, they say the 12. So Jesus will stand and then the 12. And then he was keeping the bag of the money. So it's good to work with Jesus. You know, sometimes the Bible says he took from it the blessing. But the blessing made him become the son of perdition. Meanwhile, when Jesus, the immortal spirit, was explaining the reason for the 12, he said, the 12 of you will sit with me on 12 thrones to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. So the reason Peter is an apostle is not for the apostleship. There's a throne in heaven for Peter. It is possible for Peter to walk on earth and lose contact and sight of the throne that is in Zion. So everything becomes about earth. Everything becomes, so you plateau at a point. The point when the anointing now rests becomes your destination. So every time you come for a meeting, Apostle Peter shows up. So he talks, he waves his hand like this, people fall down. And then he keeps quiet for 3 minutes. He comes to this other angle, he waves his hand like this, people fall down. And then they come and put the seed at the apostles' feet. They call him. If you go to church now and you ask people, you'll be amazed that many people have not received signal from Zion since this year began. Many, they have not received any signal from Zion. Meanwhile, all of us are sowing seeds. And the pastor is so interested in those who are sowing seeds. In fact, those ones, if they call around 1 a.m., the pastor can drive there. But the intercessor, even if he's dying, at best they will send delegates. They will send maybe the prayer band leader or the assistant pastor to go and greet the intercessor. And they are hoping that when he wake up, he will come back. But the sons of consolation, they sit on the first row. Because we only know about the blessing. The calling is not in view. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. The word blessing means to cause to prosper. That's what the word blessing means. To cause a thing to prosper. But the question is, what are you prospering in? So the blessing is supposed to be a tool that facilitates the reason why you are here. There are many systems in the kingdom. I want to pick one system and use it to explain what I'm talking about. You know, I know we are people of fire. Fire is not a challenge. If I finish talking and I tell you to take mic and bring fire in 5 minutes, fire can come. Since we have known the gate of power, we now decide to look for things that have immortal relevance. Because it's possible to open 1,000 blind eyes, and then when you appear in eternity, you see yourself with the devil. And they say, why didn't you cooperate with me on earth? Paul says he's afraid that after having saved others, himself will be a castaway. So I say, okay, so it's possible to be running as an apostle and doing the work of an apostle, and then you yourself will be a castaway. That means everything Paul was doing, his consciousness was about eternity. You are the one who is so conscious about the anointing. You came for meeting, you are conscious about the move of power. Ooh, you have told people to gather, so high people have not fallen. You are doing, you may even resort to psychology. But in the days of Paul, he could teach the Bible till midnight. And because what the Holy Ghost said, do that day is teach Bible. Even though it was announced to be a healing meeting, his connection is with Zion. So the Holy Ghost doesn't say, heal the sick. Even though it's good to heal the sick, he will stop. Paul was so zealous. He said he was going to Bithynia, but the Holy Ghost forbade him, so he stopped. See the way we are going everywhere now. Is it good to do evangelism? Yes. Who is the king of evangelism? The Holy Spirit. But Paul was going to where? Bithynia. And he said the Holy Ghost did what? He forbade him, so he shut down. And then when he went to sleep, he now saw a man from Macedonia say, come to Macedonia. And then he began to move. So the reason he stopped is not because his zeal had died. Everything he was doing, he was connecting to the command power of heaven. Because at the end of the day, he knows that what he's doing in time is not what will make him relevant. It is the assessment from heaven that will count. As far as he was concerned, everything he was doing was a tool of Zion to give him an advantage in heaven. In the New Jerusalem, where he will stand was his priority. But unfortunately, these things are no longer emphasis in the kingdom. You will be shocked now that even we that are praying here, if we ask ourselves what is our greatest motivation, you will be amazed. You will be amazed. You will say, I love God. Until God begins to make demands, that's when you will know the extent to which you love Him. When God makes demand on your sleep, as simple as it is, then you will discover that love in the spirit realm is not emotion based, it's obedience based. And then you discover that even though you say you love God 1,000 times, you don't love Him. And you may psych yourself like that until you leave this world. When you go to eternity, then you'll be shocked that the standards of heaven are different from what men told you. Let me pick the system of faith and explain what I'm talking about. Then I can jack it up. At that time, I know that even if you go to sleep, it will echo in your head. It will echo in your head. What is my calling? And now when you are praying to God for your calling, you will know it's not about influence. You will know it's not about announcement. You know it's not about fame. Now that God wants to raise men, the devil comes and is motivating a lot of young people. Because the devil is a king of mimicking what God wants to do. So there are many people hustling on Facebook and on Instagram to become popular. But the idea of the calling is not popularity. It's far from it. The idea of the calling is not power, it's not influence. The idea of the calling is what you will become in the world to come. Because what the devil came to do was to scatter the puzzle that God created. Before we were ever created, the same way the heavens were designed. You know, when God created the heavens, every entity is in its rank. You will never read in the Bible when they say somebody was promoted. The only being that wanted to create promotion in heaven was the one they cast away. Because the order is set in such a rigid fashion that everybody is in his own rank. So the angels don't gain promotion. Before, if you were among the 24 elders, be there. If you are a small angel, be there. That's how it was designed. The same pattern was what God put in place for the earth. So the devil came and scattered the sequence. Because when the order is distorted, then possibility of rebellion can exist and God can no longer be the sovereign. So what God is trying to do with all of the puzzle that is going on in this world is to reestablish what he had in mind before the foundation of the world. And maybe you and I, your place may be to sit on a throne. But you see, if you don't take advantage of the gate of your calling, so that at the end of your race on earth, you will make it to that throne, you'll be surprised that there are many other vacancies. Like the throne of Judah became vacant. And then they casted lot and said, Matthias has come. May your throne not be bargained. Higher matters in the kingdom, they play with it. They play with it. Higher matters. May your place not be lost because they taught you only about the blessing. And you were running to make it in time. Paul said reward is in heaven. That means the possibility of reward does not exist in time. God can bless you in time. But Paul said reward is what? It's in heaven. The crown of life is not on earth. It's in heaven. Every other thing God does on time, in time, is to further strengthen you to do more. That means the mark you have not attained yet. So you were praying for 2 hours. Every day, God brought body and you increased it to 4 hours. And as you started praying for 4 hours, God now gathered some people around you. And then they began to sow seeds to you. And then you'll be shocked that every seed that came to you, God now says, sow it out. Maybe for you to be able to enter into the height you should operate in the spirit is for you to sustain a quota of 10 hours of prayer every day. But your strength can't carry it. So God wants to augment with seed sowing. So the reason he added money into what is happening is not because God wants you now to begin to drive in a Lamborghini. That's why when the money came, you know, I was preaching. For 6 years, every honorarium that came to my hand, God said I should give it out. Meanwhile, some of the meetings we went for, we borrowed transport fare. How do I now pay the transport fare? I didn't know that maybe my obedience to the dealings of the Holy Ghost was not enough. So God was looking for many strategies to augment. Every man of God I saw then, everything, I just empty money. And then as if that is not enough, all that strange dealings began to come. God will now take me to go and serve somebody that even before I went, I knew there is no possibility of profit in it. And then I will serve the person for 3 months or 4 months, and then I'll be discharged. And today God is giving us a tiny voice to speak. And then if you are not careful, you now say, Kai, something is happening now. So first you begin with packaging. You now said, the kind of suit we should wear now, there's a way it should appear because of where we are now. You are nowhere, you are still on earth. You now say, Kai, as I'm going to the ministration now, somebody should hold my Bible. And then, you it's about creating impression among men now. Meanwhile, where your ordination is in heaven. So the angels are looking at you. What is he doing? The guy have only climbed 2 ladders. There are 30 more ladders. What is he doing? That's why I became careful. Because people here heard my messages. People from everywhere. Daddy, I want to submit to you. I say, I'm not yet a father. I'm not. After all, if God gave me a pioneering work, I would have said, okay, I must have to shepherd people. I'm not pioneering a work. You are calling me Papa. I'm not yet a father. The last time I checked, I was still a disciple. And I'm still in serious training. The blessing is to advance the calling. And the calling is heaven's strategy of making you retain your place in eternity. Because what you don't know is that earth is a ground of warfare. And the warfare is not primarily about your money. It's not even about your health, so to say. The warfare is about your soul. Because the moment your soul is disaligned, what happens is that you begin to journey away from what was written concerning you before the foundation of the world. It came to Jeremiah. He said, before you were conceived in your mother's womb, I knew you. I knew you is different from I ordained you to be a prophet. He didn't say, I knew you to be a prophet. before you were conceived in your mother's womb, I knew you. In me, there's a place you are in me. But in time, you must be a prophet to get there. That is why when all of us leave the earth, all of the titles are removed. We are called overcomers. Because what it means is that we have battled through the warfare of time and we have succeeded in aligning with what was written concerning us. Because what was written concerning us in Zion is consistent with what is in the heart of the Father. So Jesus said, I will give you a new name that no man knows. It's a day that overcome, I will plant in the house of my Father as a tree of eternity forever, a tree of life forever. So who you are is not yet disclosed. It is what you do with your calling and overcome in time that will determine who you will be in the world to come. So Paul said, even the salvation we have in time, he said we should walk it with fear and trembling. Before you were born, I knew you. We don't know what he knew him to be, but he served on earth as a prophet. When he gets to heaven, he will know what he is known to be. Let me show you the system of faith so you understand what I'm talking about better. In Hebrews chapter 11. The way things are going now, I discovered sometimes, especially when we have the opportunity like this, it shouldn't be fire. Let's sit down and look at certain things that we form conviction. Because God may be dealing with you in a certain way, and then you just came to church and they told you, if you are not prospering, you are cursed. Meanwhile, their idea of prosperity is the volume of your account, of money in your account. So you begin to wonder what Jesus saw in the life of John when he said, of all men born of a woman, there's none greater than John. So in that generation, nobody was more prosperous than John. And the idea is not poverty. Remember, I said that from the beginning. The idea is what? The degree to which you are fulfilling your what? Your ordination. As far as heaven was concerned at that time, the goal of John the Baptist was to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness. The strategy was to identify the Messiah by baptism. He did all of it. So even though the Bible says John did no miracles, Jesus came and said, of all men born of a woman. The last time I checked, even Abraham was born of a woman. Maybe when we go to heaven, they will explain that one to us better. But Jesus said, what? Of all men born of a woman. Because when they checked the lexicon of Zion, the duty of the guy was to be a voice crying in the wilderness. And his assignment was to be able to, so long as he is able, every assignment God gives you is a basis for him to justify, to be justified in rewarding you in eternity. Because on account of the fall, we are dislocated in time. If God now comes in eternity and say, you be this, you sit here, you may say he's unjust. So he gives all of us an equal ground by grace, so that on account of it, we will fulfill the assignment that he has given to us. And on the strength of our fulfilling that assignment, every reward we receive in eternity is legitimate. Did you read the story of the people God called to walk in the vineyard? He invited them at different hour, but he gave all of them the same reward. And then the ones that came in the morning were complaining. He said, what I bargained with you is what I gave you. And I gave you because you fulfilled your what? Your assignment. The ones I called at the last hour, they also fulfilled their own assignment. So I gave them what was bargained. So every calling on a man's life is God's excuse of rewarding him in eternity. If you judge calling based on manifestation in time, you have lost the idea behind the whole thing. This is why a lot of people lose their focus while they are still working in time. At some point, they assume they have become big. So it's about building systems. If they call 100 people, we gather. If they say they have a need, people will run to come and drop their last savings. So at that time now, they are creative. Anything they think about, they do. And they don't know when it becomes about time. So we build monuments instead of raising immortal foundations that will be memorials in heaven. If you don't know what your assignment is, it means something is wrong with your discernment. And the reason your discernment will remain wrong is because you have not managed burdens correctly. When you begin to manage burdens correctly, your discernment is quickened. And then you begin to find out why you came. and then the strategy of life is given to you. Because the reason you are living is not about this realm anymore. This realm is already sentenced to destruction. We are here because it's a tool, it's a platform for us to invest in eternity. True investment is not really in time. True investment is in eternity. And you begin by investing your life. This is why everyone has a calling upon his life. It is God's strategy of giving him a place in Zion. But most of us, our callings may become the reason why we lose out. God may place a calling in the heart of somebody to be a sponsor of the kingdom. And on the strength of that calling, that person has so much understanding and wisdom about business. Anything he touches becomes gold. And then all of a sudden he becomes a millionaire. And then he thinks life is now pleasure. And when he goes to the house of God, where echoes will be fired into his soul to realize that his own part in the kingdom is to advance the kingdom by finances, he comes to the church and they make him feel like a demigod. So he gives a portion of what he has for the pastor to keep honoring him. So the more he stays in church, the more he becomes a creature of time. And he will live in this world for many years. And when the verdict of heaven is passed, like it was said in Luke chapter 12 verse 20, God will say, "You fool." Because he doesn't understand why the money came in the first place. Somebody may be an intercessor, and the only burden that God puts on his heart is prayer. But when he went to church from January to September, the pastor kept talking about how that the standard of God's blessing is that you will prosper in this world. So the guy abandons his intercessory assignment and he begins to do forex. When he does forex for 6 years and he gets 10 million, then the whole thing will vanish into the wind. Then after he vanishes, he now goes to sit down quietly for some time. Then he will hear the echo of eternity. Prayer, prayer, prayer. He will now go back. What he doesn't know is that 10 years was wasted. So in the equation of his life, 10 years will be vacant. When they check the radar of heaven, 10 years didn't exist because that part of him was not written. The only way now he can maximize life is to do more than he should have done before, so that he can cover for the year that the canker worm and the caterpillar worm have eaten. God told me something. He said to me, he said, "The dimension of my presence that you will touch," he said, "you will labor more than you should have labored before because you allow your soul to experience iniquity." As a boy of 7 years, I was seeing visions like a screen on the wall. My word of knowledge then was not, "God is telling you something." Everything, I will watch it like a screen and with my naked eye, not my eyes or the spirit. I didn't know anything about vision. I lay down with my mom, at least the ones I'm permitted to share. And then the heaven, the cloud shifted and I saw a man sat on a throne with a crown and a woman was presenting a child. And I tapped my mom to look, look, and they vanished. And that's how I kept seeing visions. If things want to happen, I will tell you, or if something is happening, this is more than a javu because I can narrate it for 1 hour. I will tell you this, how it's happening. I will narrate the whole thing if it comes to pass like that. As a boy of 9 years, I went to my dad. I told him, "If you don't change your ways, you will be the architect of your misfortune." And then he stood like this. Oh, the life left his body. That was how crazy I was at 9 years. But a point came when I exposed my soul to iniquity. So God told me, he said, "Those dimensions are not lost. But before you walk in it again, you will do many more times than you would have done." So the things I'm supposed to enter, maybe by 1 hour prayer now, I will pray for 3 hours before it happens. That is how the devil steals people's years on earth. So the intercessor goes to church and they told him it's money, money, money. So he abandons his altar until everything there becomes a ash or ashes. And then when he trades on Bitcoin for 5 years, if God wants to help him, then God will touch that Bitcoin company with his finger and the company will crash. When that company crashed, then his soul becomes lonely. He's now looking for something that is deeper than everything that a man is talking about. Only a spirit can talk to him at that time. And that time of desperation, then he hears a whisper to activate the altar. And this time around, the altar that he would have raised in Lagos,
he will be forced to raise it in Osuka. Elohim Adonai.
You know one thing about the apostolic ministry is that your message is the story of your life. So God brings you dealings, he shapes you, he breaks you until every time you stand, you are a witness of heaven. You can come to a territory and you didn't even preach, but your presence there can become a witness because your life is a mobile altar. It's the things you have gone through. That's why we don't run from dealings and processes. But that is what is obliterated from the teaching in the house of God today. Because we don't know the weight of callings. I went to the university. I say I was a man of God, but suddenly I became a politician. So when those guys eat money and they don't know what to say, they come and call the orator. And then I will come and stand and pocket my hand. And I will lower my voice. And then I will quote three philosophers. When they can't hear me, they will now say, keep quiet, keep quiet, keep quiet. When they keep quiet, they will say, Aluta continua. You will make your voice deep. And you say, George Washington once said, discipline is the soul of an army. It makes small number formidable. It procures success to the weak and esteem to all. Then they will hear, hey. I didn't know that this tongue was supposed to be the bearer of the oracles of God. But because people were clapping, I became an orator, a political orator for a season. You have lost track of calling. So a Deborah. She has authority among men. She thinks it's because she is tall. So every time she wants to go out, she wears some kind of clothes and look. She thinks she's a gallant woman. That's why men fear her. She doesn't know it's a mantle that is rotating over her head in the spirit realm. Because the Deborah is a judge. It's the spirit of a judge, a warrior woman that can rule in the midst of men. She feels about stature. So she's now working on her stature, even her walking. Then the devil steals the calling. The idea of the calling is lost. Life doesn't begin in time. It begins in eternity. Time is a ticket to invest there. The system of faith. Let's look at the system of faith. Hebrews chapter 11. The problem with this kind of talk is you will waste all the time. You will not know. Meanwhile, tomorrow we will have liberty. At least tomorrow should be the moment of glory. Tomorrow we will have moments of, all of us will fly. Tomorrow will be a night where we'll be soaked in God's presence and power. Because there are many activations that will take place tomorrow. Many activations. Most of you, your calling is buried in your appetite. The only thing God will use to excavate it are burdens. So burdens will be cast on people. And callings will be activated. Your appetite is sleep. So the grave of your calling is your bed. Oh. For 6 months, God is saying, wake up, wake up, wake up. Even if an angel comes and jack you like this, you will wake up and then you say, Kai. You go and drink cold water, you come back and sleep. You say, how did I go to? I was so thirsty when I went to sleep. I should have drank water. It's only the language of a spirit that can touch you now. That God may help us to hear the whispers of eternity. When men begin to hear from eternity, it alters their lives. It changes their priorities. I was looking at John. You see, there are some characters that I like to keep talking about. Because there is something that needs to sink into this generation. How can somebody leave the comfort of his father's house? Meanwhile, this man was born into a family that had need for a child until the mother was in her old age before God blessed them with a child. But that child came into this world with an understanding of calling. So the moment he came of age, he ran into the wilderness. I was wondering what happened to Elizabeth. I can imagine many days when she was crying and telling John, why can't you be a priest like your father? Is your father not serving God? And then the Bible said the guy fed on locusts and wild honey. And he was dressed only in camel skin. What kind of life is that? What he is perceiving is what our generation can't perceive. There is something that guy heard. You know, when you read the story of Moses from Exodus, you will just think that Moses felt angry that they are punishing the Israelites. Until Paul came and told us what happened. He said it's because Moses saw him that was invincible. That is why he was able to choose to suffer affliction with the people of God and the pleasures of Egypt. He saw something from Zion. You have not seen yourself in Zion. If you see the throne you are supposed to occupy that you are mortgaging for pleasure in time and for security on earth, you will discover that you have wasted yourself. The Bible says, Paul and Barnabas, he said, these be the men that hazarded their lives for the gospel. I was wondering, why was Paul doing what he was doing until when he was about to round up ministry? He now said there is a crown in heaven that he was seeing. So the reason why Paul will be the only apostle that goes to Maiduguri and stand up for Maiduguri, the next thing is going to Afghanistan, was because he saw a crown. That crown was motivating him. So people would think, hey, Apostle Paul, he went to a city, they say, the gods have come among us. They began to clap and they tore their clothes quickly and pour ashes on their head. Because they were about to rob them of the crown that he saw in the spirit realm. What he saw in heaven, they wanted to give him on earth. Meanwhile, that crown doesn't exist on earth. They want to create a mundane crown and put upon his head. The guy quickly poured ashes on himself. God, please, it's heaven. I'm seeing heaven. What I'm seeing is the gate of Zion. Men came and said, hey, the gods. Those days when we were, I won't call the name of the church. If you want to give, you will not give in secret. You will wait. Until when everybody gather, then you stand up and say, you will talk very humbly. You say, Pastor, I thank God for what he's doing. I want to sow a seed of 50,000. Hey! Then they will say, son of consolation. Pastor will now use you as the message. Say, look at you, look at you. He's just a youth copper. He's giving 50,000. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? He has just bought his first car. So either they bloat your ego or they promise you things that are time-based. But when the elders gave, they gave because they saw something in the spirit. Why was Abraham able to give until he gave Isaac? He saw. The name of God that he called on the mountain, God is seen. Jehovah is seen on the mountain. So his sight penetrated beyond time into eternity. What he saw made it possible for him to give his best. Zion, Zion. But the doctrine we hear now have cut us off from Zion. So we do everything for the glories of time. Meanwhile, time itself is corruption. Everything here is sentenced to doom and destruction. But this is what we live for. We don't know the calling. Let me show you something. In Hebrews chapter 11. He began this scripture by telling us how that faith is actually a tool for rotting exploit. That means everything that is spectacular in this world is created by faith. Faith is the power of God to create manifestations, tangible and supernatural influences in time. So he didn't undermine the power of faith to move the hand of God and to create impact. But concerning the elders, he said faith for them was not the impact that they wrought. He said through faith, he said the elders obtained the good report. Because for the elders, it was about what will be said concerning them when they get toward to Zion. A good report was the value that the elders attached to faith. Even though the Bible said the foundations of the earth, he said the earth is gathered together by faith. He said through faith, everything that was created by it. He said, but as touching the elders, faith had a different definition. Faith as a substance could be a tool for wrecking and creating impact. But when it comes to the believer, it has a different definition. So the believer can, it's just like money in the hands of a believer. Money in the hands of a riotous person can be a tool of pleasure. But money in the hands of a believer is a trust fund. So when you are defining money, the context in which you find money is what will determine the value of that money. So a believer with 1,000,000 naira is not carrying a tool to meet his need. The kingdom will advance another leap because he has a million. So what you call money in the hands of a believer is a different economy altogether. Faith is a tool of exploit. But he said, concerning the fathers, it was the only basis of obtaining a good report. Because these guys know that earth is falling and there is no life on this side anymore. What they have now is a ticket into Zion, because it is in Zion that men will be enthroned. So the Bible said, without faith, let me read it so that I don't jump. He said, through faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. So everything you see in creation is an offspring of faith. It doesn't deny the fact that faith can create impact. He said, the walls were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are were not made out of the things we do appear. But in verse 2, before he told you about the impact of faith, he said, for by it the elders obtained a good report. So he came back and he began to talk to us about the elders. So what made those guys elders and what gave them a good report was what? Because of what they did with that economy called faith. Meanwhile, the word elder used in that scripture is the word presbyteros. That's where the word presbytery was gotten from. So these guys, they became council members in the New Jerusalem. Because of what they did with faith, they have become the people that will determine what will happen in the world to come. So they are called the council member of the next world, because they know what to do with faith. Meanwhile, it's possible for you to carry faith, and faith for you is all about signs and wonders. And the motivation for signs and wonders is not because God wants to advance the kingdom in the life of a man. It's because you have entered a dimension. I'm telling you things that I've suffered from, and God is still delivering us. So I'm not preaching the gospel to you because I read it. I'm telling you about intrinsic dynamics. And if you are honest with yourself, you will know. Even those of you who are singers, because you sing now and two people fall under the power, your goal now is to make people fall because you are gaining influence in the fellowship. So it's not even about the kingdom of God being advanced in the life of people anymore. It is now a show. And every time you come, it's no longer about what God is doing part time. People must have to fall down, because if they don't fall, your reputation is at stake. So even if the Holy Ghost come and say, kai, 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 it's a lie. People must. So your goal is not to receive a good report in Zion. Your goal is what? Manifestation. But the Bible said, through faith, beyond manifestation, the elders obtained a good report. So he began to show us how these guys became the Sanhedrin of the New Jerusalem. You know that these guys were doing political and seasonal dispensational Sanhedrinship. So they gathered people because they understood the Torah. Meanwhile, there were some people that were transacting with a deeper economy. So they were not Sanhedrins in the synagogue of Jerusalem. They are Sanhedrins in what? The New Jerusalem. Because through faith they did what? They obtained a good report. So he said they are elders. The word elders is the word the presbytery. So politically in your generation, they can call you and say, come and be part of the leadership in Khan. Because the Khan of their day was the Sanhedrin. But there were some people that were not recognized in the synagogue. But in the New Jerusalem, the Bible said they were what? The elders. That's why I told you that calling is not first of all given to you for impact in time. Calling is given to you to be able to enter into what you should be in the world to come. In the world to come, most of us here are supposed to be patriarchs. But can you follow God enough to pioneer a dimension in the spirit? Because these men are not just called elders because they came first. So the Bible did not begin this lexicon with Adam. It began with Abel. Meanwhile, Adam is the first man. So if it's about age, Adam would have been the first. If it's about who came first, Adam would have been the first. But these men entered into an economy in the spirit. And because of what they touched, in the world to come, they are fathers. They will form the council of that world that God himself will give credit to. Jesus made a striking statement in the book of Matthew chapter 8 verse 11. He said, men shall come from the east and from the west to sit with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the new Jerusalem. That means there is something a man can do in this world that will make him have so much stature that in heaven, even men that live on earth with him will come to sit under their ambience. What is that economy that a man enters? It is the calling of God upon his life. You will do something so much that in heaven, you will not only have a throne, a dispensation of people will be committed to you because of what you did in time. He said, through faith, the elders, the presbytery, obtained a good report. And he began to show us the presbytery. So, presbyteryship in this context is not that we are the elders in the church now. The council that was formed there, somebody lived 100 years ago, then the second person that is in that council lived 100 years later. Because that council is not time-based. So you will be shocked that if you fulfill your calling, when you go to heaven, you will sit with Enoch on the round table. You know why? You walk in the same dimension in God that he walked. The only thing is that you people are to sustain that dimension in different generations. So he is not superior to you because his generation came first. The problem is, to what degree did you walk in your calling? So you will go to heaven and you will be amazed that you will sit with men like Paul the apostle. And then you ask yourself, how is this possible? Then God will tell you that what Paul represented in his generation is what you represent in your own generation. But unfortunately, there are many Pauls in this generation that may never discern that they are Paul. So in this generation, they will live a life of a vagabond. So when they go to heaven, God will tell them that the operation of the Spirit that was upon the life of Paul was meant for every generation. Hope you know that the same remnant that God told the prophet Elijah that is in Israel, many years later, Paul came writing in Hebrews and he said, there is not a generation that is without a remnant. That means the idea of a remnant was not an existence in the day of Elijah. The idea of a remnant is a strategy of heaven for preserving every generation. Meanwhile, somebody can be a part of the remnant, and then God is bringing a dealing upon his life, and he violates that dealing because the current trend is prosperity. And he doesn't know that the remnant are a people that refuse to bow to status quo. The remnant are a people that refuse the way of idolatry. The remnant are a people that choose to stand with God even if they will be slain in the process. Because they are the witness that the service and the worship of God is the most substantial reality that a generation should hold. The same Elijah that lived many years before, when John came, the Bible said he was what? He was coming in the spirit and in the power of Elias. So in the new Jerusalem, you will be shocked that John will have the same rank as Elijah. Because the same way Elijah fulfilled his calling, John also fulfilled his calling. And when Jesus came, he brought testament to the fact that John accomplished his work in time. You are an apostle, you are a prophet, and you think it's about title. Maybe if the vent of the new Jerusalem is open, then you will realize that you are the Elijah of this generation. And the reason nobody can rise to challenge the kings anymore is because the people that should walk in the calling of Elijah, they have forgotten and abandoned those callings. So while the church is crying for God to raise men, the Elijahs are not aware. Even the ones that know they are prophets, they think that the prophetic is all about names. It's all about of title. Meanwhile, a generation is suffering because they have not understood the scope of ordination. So in heaven, the same way that Michael has his own quadrant, Lucifer has his own quadrant, every dimension of God that is a calling has a quadrant. There are those that will sit with Abraham. There are those that will sit with Enoch. There are those that will sit with all of this presbytery. But the question is, have you identified that calling and you are able to give your life to it? Because it is not about time. Life is not necessarily a reality of time. We walk through time to invest in Zion. But you may not be aware that what is troubling your heart, the reason there is nothing in this realm that can satisfy it, is because what is troubling your heart is a reality that dwells in heaven. So God is calling you into a depth that will bring you into eternal relevance. Meanwhile, you are strategizing and planning your life to be relevant in time. Who told you you are a creator of time? Say, through faith, the elders obtain a good report. What is your own standing in Zion? What is your calling? If you find your calling correctly, and you check the Bible and check the spirit realm, you will discover that you are connected to an ancestry of a people that have walked in the same dimension. Because there is a place for those tribes in Zion. Hope you know, as large as Israel was, the Bible said they were encamped according to their tribe. The 3 million, 4 million people were not just moving around. There was a pattern for the assembly. Everyone was camped according to his own tribe. Because Israel is a reflection of the reality and the civilization of Zion. But you don't know that the calling that is upon your life is what was the tribe of an entity that have existed 1,000 years before you came. Why do you think Paul, John was the way he was? He was the way he was because he knew that he was a carrier of the spirit of Elijah. He knew his tribe in the spirit. He knew his own quadrant in Zion. So on earth, his life is sentenced to that order of living. Most of you here, the hand of God upon your life is for intercession. The hand of God upon your life is to find a clan, to stand and to bet what God wants to do. But you want to marry a fair woman. The hand of God upon your life is for you to be a sponsor of the kingdom, but you want to live in Dubai. Your honeymoon must be on the Caribbean islands. You don't know the ambitions that we had until we understood kingdom. See, every day we are dying. If I tell you the specification of the lady I had in mind for the age of 15, I used to tell my sisters that if my wife come here, all of you will worship her. In fact, when I did my census correctly, the only people that were close were Indian ladies. Because I first of all begin by describing her fingernails. The fingernails, that's where you begin from. We are not talking about the face or the shape yet. Let's start with fingernails. If she's holding her phone like this, until kingdom came and killed us. Those days, we had no dime, but in our mind, what was there? You couldn't take it away. And God knew that until that thing breaks, you can't amount to anything. The cars that we said we would drive. He said, but through faith, the elders. Now money comes to your hand, but money has no value to you anymore. Because you are perceiving something. You come to a place, people are calling your name. You are the first person bending down. You didn't even remember you are the one they are talking about. Because you have seen something and you have judged time. So Paul said, we are the circumcision that worship God in the spirit, rejoicing in Christ Jesus, having no confidence in the flesh. Through faith, the elders obtained a good report. Let me show you how a spirit judges a report. I will just talk about two of them quickly, and then we will pray for a few minutes. The Bible says, through faith we understand. Okay, let me start with from verse 4. He said, by faith. You will notice, one thing you will notice from this scripture, when you begin to read it, you will discover that more than 90% of the people here, what the Bible called their faith was their ability to give to God, not to receive. When you read this scripture, the few people that received here, that made it to this list, were people like Sarah, And what she received was not her own. It was a seed that God wanted to use in the kingdom. He said, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And he said, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it, even being dead, yet speaketh. So when God came to evaluate the life of Abel, the value of Abel, first of all, was beyond time. So even after Abel died, Abel was able to summon the courts of heaven by another kind of utterance that was deeper than what his voice can communicate. It was Abel's life that revealed to us that even blood can speak in the spirit realm. It is because of Abel, the path that Abel created, that became the basis for the substitutionary death of Jesus to be possible. That's why they are called elders. They are patriarchs. They birthed dimensions in God that were not possible. The only way you know that atonement is possible by blood, and blood has an utterance that can create justice in the spirit, was because a man understood how to give an excellent offering. So the speakings of Abel's blood became a dimension in the spirit. So even Jesus, when he came to save humankind, it was by the utterance of the blood. So the Bible said Jesus ascended to heaven and he presented his blood in the holy tabernacles, because a man pioneered it. How did he enter into this kind of understanding? And how did he become so relevant that even when he was dead, the Bible said his blood was petitioning heaven? They knew how to live beyond time. Everything God gives to them, including the blessings and the assignment, was designed to give them relevance in Zion. So such men, even if you slaughter them, you cannot kill them. Their dynasty, it travels forever. Their dispensation is for ageless aeons. You can't shut their voice. When you kill that man in Maiduguri, what is upon his life will rest on somebody else in Zimbabwe. He will remain on earth as a witness. So long as he tapped into that dimension, he has become a coronated man in heaven. Abel's blood was able to summon the courts of heaven until God showed up and began to petition another man on earth, because the man who died, even though on earth he was dead, he had a stake in heaven. How is it possible for a man to live on earth yet have a stake in Zion? Because he understood how to live a way of death, because that is what the calling demands. He said while he was dead, his blood was talking. God himself showed up and said, Cain, where is thy brother? Cain thought it was Elohim that was coming to have fellowship. So he spoke out of context. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, the blood of thy brother is crying from the ground. He didn't know that Abel was an influential person in heaven. When Cain was doing politics on earth, Abel was doing his own politics in heaven. Because by his calling, he was appealing and appeasing the heart of the Father. Every time the Father had a need, Abel committed his life. He showed us the way of sacrifice as the only basis of living accurately on earth. So when he died, heaven could not rest, because one of the princes of heaven had returned, and he came to heaven with a lamentation. When a prince showed up, the king had no choice but to move. So heaven moved on his account, because that one is what? It's an elder. They are council members. But he entered into that pathway by what? Offering a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It was Abel that taught us how service is done in the kingdom. The way of sacrifice. Meanwhile, we are in a church now where everything we hear is about self-preservation, self-exaltation, self-glorification. But the man that knew how to give his best, that man became popular in heaven. Where is thy brother? We are not taught correctly. There is something wrong with our doctrine. He came again and he said, by faith, Enoch Enoch walked with God and was not. I don't have time to explain so much what it means to walk with God. But the easiest way I can explain this thing, it means to become a puppet in the hand of a spirit. Everything God intends, the guy presents himself. He says, Lord, what will you have me do? That's the language of a man that walks with God. What will you have me do? What will you have me do? He is coming out of one crisis, and then you think he's dying. And the next time he goes to pray, he says, Lord, what will you have me do? Somebody just emptied his bank account because they're about to put a prayer meeting together. And the next time he comes, he says, Lord, what will you have me do? Lord. So God says, go to Benue and raise a prayer cry for 7 days. He goes there as he's coming back. Lord, what will you have me do? Give this brother all the clothes that is in your wardrobe. An orphanage need it. Lord, what will you have me do? Go and empty your bank account. Lord, what will you have me do? And then, well, you don't know what it means when he say, end up walking with God. That was why he became the delight of God. You know, most of us here, in heaven, we have a sickness called paralysis. Because when God wants to move through us, he doesn't move. God wants somebody to pray in the night, and then he came through your portal. But God, no matter the nudge, you are his paralysis. He can't move. So even though God is exerting energy, the hand is like this. God said, move. The hand is, we are paralyzed. Because we don't know the way of Enoch. Enoch walked with God and was not. You can't do that until you die to flesh. So the path that Enoch created is the path of death. Those are the things we don't hear in church anymore. That's why we have become the way we are. Everything we do is about our glory. So when you come for the morning service and the power of God move in the evening, you don't only come late, but you walk like this. Meanwhile, the fathers, see, there is an infirmity that God needs to remove from our soul if we will be able to host the glory. I'm telling you, these things, I'm saying them as simple as it is, but like I told you from the beginning, it's the Holy Ghost that ministers to the heart of man. Because if these things are not worked into your soul, you will see the revival, you will not be part of it. Because you will think it's about charisma. You will think it's even about anointing. God may settle you with a gift, but the men that have inheritance are the people that walk with him. Notice that in this scripture, it is a reward the Bible was talking about. It wasn't talking about the things they had in time. Those things were not counted. If you come and when we talk about Abraham here, you will discover that in Genesis 24 from verse 1 to 3, the Bible spoke of how God blessed Abraham. He said Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed him in all things, in gold, in silver, in cattle. But when they began to read Abraham's citation from heaven, there was no gold mentioned. There was no cattle mentioned. All the things that were recorded from the time dimension were not captured from the heavenly dimension. The same scripture, but witness is coming from two different quarters. The witness from the earth quarters captured his gold, his silver, and his cattle. But when they were judging from heaven, it was his faith and obedience that appeared in heaven. So they teach you about Abraham, and everything they tell you is what? Abraham's blessings. They don't tell you about Abraham's dealings. Meanwhile, the one that is recorded in heaven are his dealings. So you read Genesis 24 and you read Hebrews 11, you will discover that the report about Abraham are different. There was a news casted on earth. There was another news cast from heaven. They are different frequencies. If we must carry what God wants us to carry, our priorities must change again. Most of us here think we are ready for what is going to happen. You don't know yet. What you don't know is that since you started coming close to God, the principalities have sent demons around your life. The reason you have not noticed is because you have not ascended high enough. When you ascend, you will see those demons. You know what those demons are doing? They don't come to attack you first. When they come, they study your appetites. They will flash you with money. They will flash you with women. They will flash you with pride. They will flash you with anger. They will make sure they carry out a cat catalog of study around you. And when you know the Bible said, no weapon fashioned against you, those are tailor-made weapons with your specification in view. Before those weapons are fashioned, those demons come and study your life first. When they discover everything that is your weakness, they go and record it in the chronicles of darkness, and then they are waiting for you. The day when God wants to move because you refuse to be purged, the day when God wants to move, then they will bring the lexicon that they studied about you, and they will release it on you, and you will crash. Many don't understand. This is a game of spirits, and the idea is relevant in the kingdom of those spirits. But we are not taught. We are not taught correctly. You may think that you are drawing close to God, you love Him. You have not checked your appetite well. If you are honest to yourself and you go to do a heart check and you sit down, you will discover that there are certain weaknesses that the Holy Ghost has been hammering on for the past 6 months. You act as if you are not hearing, and you have been walking in disobedience. What you don't know is that the only way the Holy Ghost will make you relevant in what God wants to do, both in time and eternity, is when those appetites are dealt with. If not, you will be where the revival, you may even be talking the language of the revival, you will not be part of it. And you can use charisma to blend in, but when you appear in heaven, you will not see any reward, because when the immortals come to check, they will not even check your manifestation. Did you study about Noah here? Noah built an ark for 100 years. The dimensions of the ark that Noah was building, no architect drew it on ground. He was seeing it in heaven and doing it on earth. That means Noah walked in discernment of spirit for 100 years. Noah was looking at the spirit realm the way I'm looking at you like this, and he was building the ark. He will see the dimension, he will build it. He built that ark for 100 years. But when the spirits came, they didn't talk about Noah's dexterity in manipulating and operating from the spirit realm. They said the reverence, his reverence. That was what the immortal saw. So all this while that Noah was walking in discernment of spirit, he could look in the spirit realm and say, no, this nail that you put here, remove this nail from here, put the nail here. As I checked heaven, this is where the nail is. Have you seen somebody walking in that type of word of knowledge before? He comes and tells you, say, no, that your ID card, there is 234 there. Check your ID card, then you check and you now discover 234 is there. You that own it, you don't even know. Such is the forensic nature of their operation. But the immortals didn't see the guy's dimension. When the spirit came, he said, when God spake, Noah moved with fear. So Noah's fear was what they were judging in heaven. And for 100 years while he was walking, they were busy checking, the calibrator was busy checking his fear. When he started and when he was ending the ark, was his fear for God still intact? Oh, he has passed. Meanwhile, when we start, we say we love God, until what we are doing begin to bring 600,000 and 1 million. And then we say, oh man, something is happening. Until we begin to open blind eyes. Meanwhile, when the spirit comes, he will not check the manifestation. He will go and gauge you again. That love that you had when you started, and now that you have 10 years in what you are doing, is this still intact? If it's not intact, you are beginning to lose credit in heaven. That is why the calling is not necessarily about the impact in time. It's about the degree to which you are building in Zion. The church in Ephesus, they grew so much in great dimension of the spirit that they were correcting and judging apostles. But Jesus came and said, well, what we saw when you began in heaven was love, your first love. It was what created your motivation, your press for God. But now you have grown in manifestation. When we check the heaven, you have no gauge. So based on what the court of heaven is saying now, we want to remove your candlestick. So at the peak of the ministry, when the guy is raising dead men, he thinks that he's high in rank. But the verdict of heaven at that time is that they want to what? Remove your candlestick. So you don't know why some people at the climax of their ministry, that's where you hear that they saw them with somebody, something happened. Their candlestick were removed, so the covering they had from Zion was lifted, became exposed, and the principality struck them. Heaven is the first priority. The reason we pursue what we pursue in time is not because we want to be relevant in time. The reason we do what we do in time is because we are aware that there is a place in heaven for us. This is why the greatest pursuit of the devil is for a place. Peter came, he said, giving no place to the devil. If you allow the devil a place in your life, you have forfeited what was written concerning you in Zion. And these things, I tell you, they may not necessarily be sin-based, but they may be intelligences of darkness, shrouded in so much wisdom that yourself cannot see it. Very little element of pride. So because you came for the fellowship and they offended you, you say, me, I'm no longer part of what they are doing. How can they? That means all the while when you were doing it, you thought you were special, and you thought it was because of you that what was happening. So you were struggling with the glory that is meant for God. You had no place there in the first place. You will notice that when the fellowship begins to go high in the spirit, most of you will be cut off. You will be purged out of the system because you have no place. The men that are relevant with God in time, the reason they stay relevant is because they are conscious of the crown of life that is in heaven. The day that thing is lost, your priority in time will be affected. Everything you do will be motivated by things, elements born in the natural. And every time you hear a gospel that fails to paint a picture of eternity for you and to let you know that there are stakes in this kingdom, what you have heard is a setup. It can bring you influence, it can bring you money, it can bring you health, but at the end of the day, you will only become stronger to do what is not consistent with your ordination. And the bigger you become in time, the smaller you become in heaven. This is why we keep our gaze in Zion. Because time has no future. The earth has already been judged. The conclusions have already been passed. Do we abhor prosperity? Do we abhor the blessings of God? No. We need it in order to advance that which God is doing on earth in order to get relevance in eternity. God doesn't reward men in time. He blesses men in time, but he rewards men in eternity. You can pray in time and it can attract a blessing. You can give in time, it can attract a blessing. But what will give you your reward in eternity is the degree to which you are consistent with what was written concerning you before you were born. Because the idea is for you to be reinstated from what the devil wants to take away from you. Every one of us is an enthroned personality. You must have heard that God is called King of Kings. In Revelation 1 verse 6, he said, unto him that washed us in his blood and made us kings and priests unto God. Whether you will sit on your throne or not depends on what you do with the grace of God you have received in time and the mentality with which you approach your responsibility in this realm. There are many gospels out there. There are many messages that are intelligently framed, articulately communicated. But if your soul is still alive, when you hear something that touches eternity, your soul will resonate with it. We bow our heads and pray for a moment. I came to say this evening because it will be the basis of the many things we will say. By the time we continue tomorrow, we will be talking very high. But at that time, I will believe that you understand the foundation of what I am trying to lay. If the reason you pursue God is so that he can bless you with something, it means you are a creature of time. But if you don't need to go too far, if you look around you, you will see a lot of unbelievers that have what you are pursuing God for, that don't know God.
The reason you pursue God is for financial prosperity. I think it's better you go and become a student of Dangote. It may be faster for you. Because you don't necessarily need a relationship with God to be financially prosperous. There is a residual grace in nature. Through hard work and diligence, you can maximize it to prosper in this realm. And there are many unbelievers and godless people that are millionaires. Go and check Hope's list of the richest men in this world. You'll be shocked that when you mention 50, there's no pastor there. Because the goal of God is not primarily financial prosperity. We need it to advance the kingdom, but there's something deeper. God comes for the souls of men. The reason you are pursuing God is to get married to a good woman. Our ancestors didn't know God, but none of them had divorce cases. The best of families, the best of homes, were in the 80s and in the 70s. They lived in perfect harmony. None of them knew Jesus Christ. So the reason you are pursuing God is so that God can open your eye to see a woman in a vision. That you are a joker. Our ancestors didn't need the Holy Spirit. They married women and they had very good homes. Peaceful homes were in those days. Those were the days when men lived for 120 years. Not because they are taking therapies, but because they had peace of mind. They came home and their wives worshipped them. They came after the toil of the day. They knew where to find peace because the women were cultured. They didn't know the Holy Spirit. And the women knew that the honor of womanhood was to raise her home so she could endure hardship and raise a family. And the family was a blossoming family. They didn't know God. So if all your prayer is about marrying a woman to have peace of mind, then you are mundane. You are still a creature of time. If all your prayer is about relevance and influence, you have not read about world history very well. Go and read about Alexander the Great. You'll find out that if it's about greatness, there are many kings in this world that didn't know God. Where do you stand in eternity? That's the greatest motivation of our lives. We know that before we came, the Great One by His wisdom have already written who we will be and what we should become. The devil came and obliterated the process, but by the wisdom of the divine, He brought us the personality called the Christ, so that through Him and by grace, we can become what God wants us to be. So that the devil, notwithstanding, we can be everything God wants us to be. The idea of grace is to reveal that the devil cannot stop the counsel of God. Before I came here, God planned for me before I came. And I will maximize the provision of grace and become everything God wants me to be, the devil notwithstanding. So when I walk through time, I walk in view of eternity. Jesus was walking in Nazareth. He said, "The Son of Man, which is in heaven." Paul said, "If we are dead in Christ, then let our affection be on the things that are above, where Christ dwells." He said, "For our life is hid in Christ, in God. But we are living as beings of time." Everything they tell us is about preservation. It's about self-preservation, self-exaltation, self-glorification. Meanwhile, all of these things, the princes of this world, the kings of this world, they entered into it. They didn't know God. Till tomorrow, the richest men in the world, they have no religion. Men like Bill Gates, men like Carlos Slim, they have no religion. Men like Warren Buffett, you go and check their history on Wikipedia, and when you check religion, you see no religion. They don't care about God. In Luke chapter 18 from verse 1 to 2, Jesus spoke about a godless ruler that neither fear God nor man. So it's possible for a man not to fear God or fear man, but he will still be mighty on the earth. The guy feared neither God nor man, but he was a ruler. Who told you you need God to be a great man? You need God to have a place in eternity. That's why we strive. That's why we press. Because we know that because of the fall, there are many distractions. The devil wants to woo us away from ordination. He peeped through Zion and he saw that you are supposed to be a bright light. Because before the world fell, the Bible called him the son of the morning. He knew the glory of walking in the midst of the coals of fire. And he has seen that when God created you, he created you to walk in Eden, the very height where he fell from. So he came to corrupt the protocol of Eden so that we cannot walk in fellowship. But we have seen beyond time. I have seen that the goal of this thing is to stand in the presence and to experience God. He came to Abraham, he said, I am your seed and your exceeding great reward. There's nothing God can give you that is bigger than himself. The devil knows. The Bible said he walked in the midst of the coals of fire. He knows everything about Zion. He understands the beauty of Zion. He said the anointed cherub that covered it. He was walking as a cherub. He said he walked in the coals of fire. He was walking as a seraphim. He said, from the day of thy creation, thy types and thy tablets were in thee. The devil understands the mystery of the songs of songs. He knows what it means for God to bring inspiration to the heart of a man by fellowship and intimacy. Because he could trap inspiration in his own heart. He knows what it means when God decks a man with beauty, with wisdom and with excellence. So he has seen that every one of us will shine like light. Adam would not wear clothes, but he was covered with glory. The devil could not take it. So what I lost, God has given to another creation. It will not come to pass. So God came with a strategy. So he gives us callings. So the other one is an intercessor. So long as he stays on the altar, a point will come where through intercession, he will break into heaven. And he will become like the cherubims of glory. So men can walk in time, but in time, they are walking like beings of heaven. John will stand in the Isle of Patmos, and John will be talking because seals are breaking in heaven. He has ascended. He has seen his true reality, but we are taught how to survive in time. The other one is an evangelist. All he needs to do is to enter nations to nation and bring witness. The more he does it, a day comes when he's clothed with a sword, because that calling, it's a gate through which he can enter into the full scope of his reality. Hope you know the angels are not the same. Michael is a warrior angel. So when he shows up, you see the artillery of war. Lucifer was an angel of beauty and glory because he was a custodian of light and sound. The same way, we have different dimensions. Our callings are gateway through which we can enter those dimensions. You are a singer, you think it's about a voice. What you don't know is that your voice is an infrastructure to create a spiritual resonance. And so long as you master that pathway, a point will come where you will align with the angels. John walked in this path until they couldn't kill him. They tried everything. We were told by church history that they threw him in boiling oil. They dragged him in the street by chariot. He couldn't die. So they sentenced him from civilization. While he was in Patmos, he entered heaven. And he began to meet his brothers. That was when John knew that some of his brothers were angels. Because God is calling an assembly of the family on earth and in heaven. There is a quadrant in Zion. You don't know where you stand, so you play with your life. Who told you? You are a creature of time. You are bigger than a prophet. You are bigger than an apostle. At the end of time, when we cross into Zion, we will be witnesses. We will be overcomers. Because as an overcomer, you can be a tree of life. As an overcomer, I can be a name of God. As an overcomer, you can be a light in Zion. As an overcomer, we are different things according to the multifaceted dimensions of God. But our calling is the gate to enter. Our calling. When a man has not perceived the dictates of ordination, then he is a lost personality. He's lost. The goal is Zion. We are traveling from eternity to eternity. Earth is not a destination, brother. Who told you earth is a destination? You came from eternity. You are going into eternity because God needs to be just in rewarding humankind. There's a reward system in eternity that you must go through time to be able to touch it. That's why time is necessary. Why do you think when you gave your heart to Christ, God didn't carry you? Because if he carry you, you will not have a place. So you need to invest in heaven from earth. We live like creatures of time. Because we were deceived that everything begins and ends in time. But he told Jeremiah, before you were born, I knew you. I didn't begin in time. Who told you I will end in time? You want to pray in tongues? This is the time. Hailah.